into our messages for the whole organization, and they get a chance to hook in. We have people here that are with us today that are able to, you know, hook in by the WebEx. And through our WebEx, we can reach more people. So it's not just the matter of people being here. It's those that are in what we call the outer reaches. People that don't live in Yuma, people that don't have a church home maybe. And they'll come in and listen every week. I know Dan has a lot of people that listen to him that don't belong to the church, but they love the messages. So I think that's a very cool thing. A lot of things going on in our life right now, but what do we do when, how many times do we have circumstances that we can't control? All the time. Sometimes we wish in our flesh that we could control certain circumstances, but we can't. It's all part of life. I was telling somebody not too long ago that life does not just exist here. You know, we live a certain amount of time. We die, our body returns back to the dust. You know, that's a very common thing for everybody. Everybody's going to have to face that. But what a lot of people don't realize is that there's a spiritual life that you live after that. You know, whether you know God or not, you still have to live it. There's a thought that came to me one time. I was talking to a guy, and he said, well, I don't believe in any of that junk, and I don't care about any of that junk or whatever. I said, that's fine. You know, God doesn't get upset because you don't care. The thing is, you will have to face a God, you know, whether you believe it or not. So if your belief is not there, that's fine. What happens is you will believe at another time. You have to, because God is real. And God's not upset because and doesn't make his word of none effect just because people don't believe it. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees didn't believe it, did they? Never believed a word he said, but didn't make his word of none effect. You know, God did what he said he was going to do. So it was an amazing thing. Some of the Pharisees did come to believe after they saw some of the things that Jesus did. And then they said, well, you know what? We got to change our mind now. We didn't believe any of this before, but we're going to believe it now. Let me tell you something here. Who do you please is what I have written up on there. I know within myself, there's a lot of things in my life I did to please me. Anybody else kind of go along with that? You did things to please yourself, didn't you? Were some of those things harmful? Some of them were harmful. I did things to please myself that were harmful. But I also did some things to please myself that turned out pretty good. You know, it worked both ways, you know. But the thing is, we have within ourselves, and we've lived most of our life that way, that we want to do things that make us happy and please us. Isn't that true? And that's in this physical realm. We try to work and do things and bring things forth so that we can have things that make us comfortable, that make us happy, whatever, you know. And we do that to please ourselves. Now, there's something we need to understand about pleasing ourselves. The consequences of pleasing yourself, they do come forth. There's a consequence to everything we do. People don't realize that. So whether we do good or evil, there's a consequence to it. Is there a reward to both? There's a reward for good and there's a reward for evil. It's as simple as that. And we both partake of both parts of that in our life. We do things that are evil and we do things that are good. But that puts us in a place of consequence. The consequence is, what do you reap from that? Even what we think is good sometimes, we will reap something that unexpected. You know, we say, well, I did a good deed toward this person the other day, you know. And what happened was that person came up. I'll give you an example. I used to be out at the prison for a while doing counseling. And there was a guy that all the people say, hey, this is such a good guy. He's changed his life around, whatever. And we want to see if we can get him on parole. You know, very good guy. We want to see if we can get him on parole. So they got him on parole. And what happened was, when he got out, we thought it was a good thing. When he got out, hung around his old buddies, his old stuff, you know, picked up, you know how the story goes, huh? And the guy committed murder. And so later on down the line, I see this guy, he's back in the prison again, because I'm counseling guys out there. And he's back in the prison, and we find out why he's back. So now he's going to be separated from his family for life, from his kids, his wife. You see where I'm going with this? So what happens is, sometimes you may think you do a good thing, but what comes out of it is something negative. Sometimes you do an evil thing, and sometimes what comes out of it is good. I've seen that happen. I've actually seen that happen. You know, you did something that was of some consequence. And I tell you how that works a lot of times is when you're like in war, you know, having been in the service, you see war going on around you and something evil is going forth. But for some reason, a good comes out of it. There was a guy we knew that, you know, because of what we did when we were in Vietnam, this guy turned around and became an American citizen and stuff. The evil was the war, was the thing that we were doing. Came to the United States, got his education, whatever. Now he's one of our leading scientists in NASA. And he used to be a little Vietnamese kid that couldn't find enough food to eat at one time. War ravaged his life, took his family, you know, killed his mom and dad, brothers, everything. But somehow, out of that evil, that kid came here and became something that was fantastic. And, you know, and he's well known in the world for what he does. So what I'm saying is that we figure things the way we think they're going to go. We think linearly. You know how it is? We just think it's a linear thing. We think if we do this, 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 and this, this is going to work out, right? That's how we always do it. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't work that way. When it works with God, when it works in prophecy, God can do things that are in the past. God can do things that are in your present. And God can do things that are in your future. And bring it all to a culmination, if you're serving him, to eternal life, to a salvation. This is what's weird about how we live our lives. We don't think there's anything beyond the end of our nose right now. That's how most people think. We think this is today, this is what I'm doing, what I have to confront today. Get up in the morning, I'm going to confront something else we're going to do. That's just weird. It's very linear. We do this all the time. But let me show you something here. This is very important for you to understand. So some things we take within ourselves and we say, ah, gosh, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't even believe that. Other things we take in and believe, just like the guy that, I can't remember the name of him, the guy that had all the group in Tucson, and they believe aliens were going to come get him and take him out of the world, so they all committed suicide so that the aliens could come and get him in the ship and whatever. You remember the story, huh? The whole thing. So everybody thinks differently about how they think about eternal life and God and whatever. But listen to this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. When you start preaching things about the cross, to them that perish, that don't want to have anything to do with it, they have their minds made up, it's foolishness to them. I talked to a professor one time when I was out at AWC, and we got into this big discussion about, you know, what about this, what about that, you know, and he said, well, some of the stuff that people preach is just foolishness. And so I said, you're absolutely right. It is. Because not everybody's right. You know, it's foolishness. Sometimes it is a foolishness in it. But we're talking about the truth here. And what happens is, it says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If I could tell you the things that God has done for me, that he's worked inside of me, and what he's done to change me, I am not the man I was, you know, years ago. How in the world could something like that change me? If you could have talked to some of the people that knew me back then, they would tell you, there is no way Kenny would be preaching Christ, be a pastor, doing anything like that. He was the worst of all of us. I was the ringleader, you know? Worst guy you could possibly think of. Fighting all the time, doing stuff, whatever. But they would look at you and say, no, there's no way. This guy would never change. But look at what God has done. Look at what he's done. And so it says here, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So we have men that are wise here in this world, don't we? Prudent actually means, in this case, the way they're using it here, prudent actually means intellectual, intellect, okay? So there are many wise men and a lot of men that have a lot of intellect. They've gained the education. I have nothing against education. I graduated from ASU, so obviously I don't have anything from against education. It's where you place your priority of your thought with all of that. Does that make you any better than anybody because you have a degree? No. Some of the worst people I've ever met, some of the most stupid people I ever met in my life had degrees. So that's just the way that works. Sometimes they may have thought the same thing about me. Say, hey, you know, you're a guy, you went through school. What are you doing this stuff? You know? And so in me, I have my own answer. Inwardly, I know there's an inward man. You know, there's a part of us that lives on no matter what. I was thinking about my nephew, and I said a prayer. I said, Gregory, whatever the truth is that comes to you, whatever's sent to you, accept what's being said, because that spirit can still receive things, even though the body has gone. How do we know that? How do we know that's true? Lazarus is one. What's another way we know it's true? What about the rich man that died and went to hell? Yeah. Could he see? Could he speak? He was, and he even told his Lazarus, the beggar, he said this. He said, go back and tell my brothers not to come to this place. So could he reason? Yeah. Could he feel pain? Yeah, he could still cry out. He could still think, all these things. People have the wrong concept of when you leave this body. I see all the time, RIP, rest in peace. That may not be what's going to happen. I'm serious. That may not be what's going to happen. Your spirit goes through things after this. And this is the thing that we have to remember, that this life here is only a part of our life. Once we leave this life, guess what the greater part's going to be? That spiritual life. That's the one that you're going to have to contend with. So how is that based? It's based on what you did for God here. Isn't it true? Did you even believe in him? Did you believe him enough to follow him? Did you become a servant of God? Did you receive salvation? Did you do all those things? Or when it came to you, did you refuse it? You see, everybody, when it first came to me, I refused it. Some guys came and talked to me and witnessed to me. And I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I kept saying, yeah, because I wanted to get them to go on and leave so I can get back to doing what I was doing. Okay. But yeah, I refused it. When people first started talking to me about it, I had to go through an experience to understand that there is a God. And God revealed himself to me. So what can you do with that? Somebody can come up and say, yeah, all that junk and this and that, that's false, whatever. Yeah, how can you tell it's false to a person that actually experienced them? So you're going to tell me that what I experienced was not real. You were there. You were in me. You understood everything that happened. Well, no. Okay, so now I'm telling you, that's why I believe God. He showed himself to me. So that's a powerful thing when God shows himself to you. So then I believed it was real. Then it asks some questions here. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? So guess where the foolishness really comes in? When you think you have enough wisdom, you think you're a scribe, you think you're the one that has the intellect and so forth, enough to say there is no God. What does the scripture say about that? The fool is set in his heart, there is no God. It says you're a fool when you say that. Because all of this was put forth by God. He created everything. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. Everything that we see and do and hear and whatever, it's all been done by God. So a lot of this has to come back to, I talked about pleasing yourself. What if we had to please something else other than ourselves? I think in some cases that's good, huh? If we choose the right thing. I choose to please God because there's something that God wants us to do to please him. So listen to this. This is a funny thing here. So by the wisdom that we have of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So men got so wise and so intellectual, they never knew God. That's a big thing that we have in our world today. People say, I don't need God because I have everything I want. My intellect can get me everything that I need. The money that I make from it, I can get everything that I need. The fame that I get from it. Don't we have people that go for fame too? They want to be famous for a specific reason. Now, here's the thing. I don't fault any of that in anybody. Some of the people that God worked with, did they become famous? Now, stop and think about what I'm saying. Did the whole world eventually know about Peter and about Paul and about all these great men of God? Did they become famous in a way? Not in their day, but did they? Sure they did. And they became very famous people. Books are written about them. There are guys, I ran into a guy one time, I said, he had a PhD in theology, you know. And I said, well, what was your big thing? Why did you go through the educational route to get this? Why didn't you just believe God and allow God to show you these things? He said, well, I wanted to make sure everybody understood what type of man Paul was. His whole thesis, his whole thing was investigating the life of Paul and his sayings. That's what his whole thing was. And he wrote a book about it and whatever and the whole deal. And I said, but guess what? It doesn't take that to know God. One of the things that they said about the disciples, which I think is so neat, when they came up before the Sanhedrin court, what was one of the first things they said about these guys? They were ignorant and unlearned. Unlearned how? According to the ways of the world. They weren't educated like the Sanhedrin court was. You know, the Sanhedrin court had high knowledge about everything, man. They had people that understood a lot of things. They were wise. They were philosophers. They knew the law of Israel, everything. They could quote that stuff back and forth. They were highly respected for their education. But they couldn't stand up against those boys that had been with Jesus. They couldn't. That's what happened. They said, how can these men, being ignorant and unlearned, withstand us in the word? Because Peter spoke to him and said, you know what? Would it be better for us to obey man or God? You want us to obey you because you're telling us not to preach in this name anymore. Or should we obey God? And they beat him, sent him out from the court and said, we will strictly tell you now, do not teach or preach in this name anymore. Guess what they did? Went back to the marketplace, started preaching Jesus again. The beating, they rejoiced because they were beaten for the name of Jesus and told not to preach him anymore. So to men in the world, that's foolishness. Why would you even go through all of that? But to somebody that knows God and understands God, that's a small price to pay for what God has done for you. Think about it. Jesus died on a cross. For whose sin? His sin? Our sin. Well, wait a minute. Why would he have to die? He's innocent for something we did. But this shows you the love of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. There had to be something to answer for the sin we had involved ourselves in. And guess what Jesus said? I'll be that lamb. I'll be that sacrifice. And he did. He became the propitiation for our sins. He was the atoning sacrifice for what we had done wrong. And that's any wrong. I don't care if it's past, present, future. He died for that. His blood was for that. So people say, well, are we talking about a literal blood? If you stop and think about the blood of Christ, what is it really? Isn't it his life, his spirit? Doesn't it say life is in the blood? The life of Christ comes into your life and changes you. That's an inward work, not an outward work. You got so many men out there that are preaching, they build up their own kingdoms. Who is it? There's an evangelist that has 12 airplanes, 12 jets. Why does one man need 12 jets? And he said, it's all in the name of God. You know, they build kingdoms, huge churches, huge amounts of money, stuff like that. And here's the thing that's funny to me about that. They tell you that you can have the same thing, but I've never seen anybody attain to what they attain. I haven't. I haven't seen anybody attain to it. You can have the same thing because it's a prosperity message. But what about the poor little kid in Bangladesh that doesn't even know anything about that? You see where I'm getting at? has no idea about it. So how can he attain to that man's same thing? It doesn't work that way. God is not after riches in this world. The riches that God talks about are the riches of your thought in Christ. That's it. Remember it says, store your treasure up in heaven? Wait a minute, how can you do that? Is that a literal physical thing? No, it's not. You store your treasure in heaven by believing God, walking in God, and pleasing God. Let me show you something that it says here. It said, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Jews, even today, they still don't believe in Christ, do they? Still don't. The high intellectual, the Greek, we get a lot of our stuff from the Greeks. They call it a Hellenistic view, you know. It changed all the Mediterranean area, and then it went to the Europeans. Europeans brought it here to the United States. It's just a special view, you know. It's intelligence. We think about Socrates and Plato and all those guys, and we want to be like that, you know, great philosophers. And all that came from the Greeks. And so we've established a lot of that in our culture here, you know. So those are the things that God is trying to show us that, yeah, these men had intellect. They had power to a certain extent about during their time. But did they attain unto the heavenly things? Did they? Never attained to the heavenly things, the great philosophies. They never attained to them. They never understood that Christ was for all. You know, it's not so much you getting the intellect and the knowledge. It's whether or not you have a believing heart. You have a believing heart, you can get through a lot of things. I tell you, some of the stuff that's happened in our life, if it hadn't been for our heart being on Christ, I don't think I would be here, my wife would be here, my children wouldn't be here, nothing. It was God that took us through, because some of those things were horrible. Stuff that we were raised up in, some of the stuff I had to go through when I was raised, horrible stuff. But at the same time, there was always a beacon for me somewhere. Didn't even realize what it was at first, but God slowly led me that way and brought me to a truth. And from that one truth, I've built many truths on top of that. You know how we did it? By allowing Christ to preach to us, to talk to us, to allow us to. I was listening to Matthew McConaughey. Everybody likes him because he's an actor and he has his, you know, to me, he's kind of funny sometimes, the stuff he does. But if you look on YouTube, he has a testimony about why I believe in Christ. And then Denzel Washington just put one on. People asked him, so why did you do this? He said, I think it's time. I think it's time to let people know that the things that have happened in my life, I'm noted for being a great actor and all that stuff. He said, none of that's what matters. What matters is my life in Christ. And he's always had that life, he said, in the background. Now, whether we agree with everything he does and Matthew McConaughey, hey, I'm just telling you, people are searching now. That's the key that I'm thinking about. They're not so much wanting to please themselves. They want to please God. They're willing to yield what they have in order to please God. I think that's cool. So anybody that takes a step like that, I'm behind them for it, you know. And maybe God will lead them to greater truths concerning those things. I don't negate that at all. I just think that's a good thing to do. So listen to this. Let's see if I can find this. This is something that's said in the book of Psalms. Well, this one's Proverbs. Let me show you this one. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wow, isn't that cool? If your ways please the Lord, he'll make your enemies' ways be pleasing to you. You'll be able to please them, even the enemies that come against you. That's cool. Here's another one. Now listen to this. This one's in Psalms. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Whatever he wanted to do, he did it because it pleased him. Okay? Here's another one. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in the heaven and in the earth and in the seas and all deep places. Whatever pleased him, he did it. He had the power to do that. You know the book of Job, when he went through all of those things that he was being tried and so forth. And he got to the point, he said, why is this stuff happening to a righteous man? Why is this happening to me? I'm a righteous man. This and that. Why is this happening? And God finally comes. He said, you know what, Job? This is the reason I allowed Satan to enter into your life. Because there's a part of you that you don't understand yet. And he said, where were you when I carved out the seas? Where were you when I made the mountains? Where were you when I put the stars in the heavens? And so forth. And Job had to stop and think, yeah, I wasn't part of all that, you know? And he said, he put his hand over his mouth. He said, I need to shut my mouth. I repent. I spoke things that were too wonderful for me to understand. And God said, yeah, stand up and be a man. Talk to me. He actually tells him that. He said, Job, stand up. Be a man. You talk to me now. Tell me what's in your mind. And he realized, he said, you know what? I better repent. I better go to a place and repent. And he repented before God. And he said, Lord, I didn't understand. I didn't understand. I thought all these things that happened to me, all this evil and so forth, that they shouldn't have happened because of what I was, because I was a righteous man. And God's trying to show him that no matter who you are, where you are, the things are going to happen. But you still have to keep your faith in God. And so, you know, you can't justify yourself before God. None of us in here can. I don't care what you've done. You can't justify yourself before God because God gave you everything you have. You're into being able to think, your health, whatever it may be. God gave you everything you have. But was he the one that created you in the beginning? Did he create your spirit from him in the beginning? Are you a word from God from the beginning? Yes. People don't realize that you are a word. Everybody out there, my neighbors, everybody, everyone was produced by God. But does everyone know him? That's the problem. They're in darkness. And when you're in darkness, you can't see. So we've been blessed to see. And we want others to see. We don't want to keep this to ourselves. We want others to see what we see in God, that we need to please him. Okay? Let's go to something else here. I wanted to show, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, look at this. I read part of this to you already. But, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. So he's talking about wisdom here, right? Not wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble. Doesn't matter if you're a king, who you are. Not many noble are called. Now, wait a minute. Not many of them are called. They think they got everything they need already. You know who God calls? Listen to this. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. I think that is so cool. It's one of my favorite scriptures. We can't glory in the presence of God. No glory, every bit of glory we may have, who gave it to us. God gets all the glory. We please him. It's not a matter of him pleasing us and doing what we want him to do. Some people think God is a bellboy. You hit the bell, please do this for me, do this for me. I need a new van, I need a new job, I need a new woman, I need a new man, whatever it may be. Ding, and all of that, just, you think God's going to provide all these things, you know? We knew someone one time that walked up to a van and claimed a van and said, God's going to give me this van. Well, we waited, and we waited, and he waited. What happened, Ma? He didn't get that van. But he said, God said, see, this is what people put on God. And then people get mad at God because man has put things on him in a misunderstanding and God had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. But God gets blamed for it. God said. There's a lady stood up one time, testimony in a church. Man, I went to my mailbox and there was $1,000 in there. Man, I know the Lord really blessed me. And then everybody in the church said, okay. I went out to my mailbox. I didn't have anything like that. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things attributed to God that are just circumstance, time, and chance. They're going to happen anyway. But the bad thing about it is that they put it on God, and people that don't have the same thing start blaming God for not having the same thing. You see how that works? And there's been a lot of bad testimony going forth in this world about what God has done for somebody, and he didn't do it for all. Here's a very important thing you need to understand. God has no respect of persons. He just doesn't. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust. I get sick, have backaches, just like the next person has, gets sick and has backaches. But I also have times where I'm in the Spirit of God, and God is showing me things through his Spirit, and man, that is a powerful thing. So you have to understand, you have to separate that which is spiritual from that which is in this physical earth. We always want to go after the things that are here. That's what we do. We don't want to go after the spiritual. But what if I was to tell you the spiritual is what's going to take you to having everlasting life, eternal life, and a salvation in God? It goes beyond this life. You're going to be with God forever and ever. And people say, well, what's that going to be like? Hey, you're going to be working. You know, there's a lot of people in Christianity say, oh, you're going to get up there and you're going to be in heaven, walk the streets of gold, sit down on the apple tree, cross your legs, you made it, you don't have to worry about it no more. That's their vision of it. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us exactly the opposite. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be going to work. You're going to be going to work in spiritual things. You're going to be going to people and bringing salvation to them no matter where they're at. Even if they're in hell, you're going to go to them. That's what's going to happen. David made a very important statement in the book of Psalms. He said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Didn't he say that? He said, because you can go to hell even to get me out of it. They believe in the power of God. Didn't Jesus go to hell? Yeah, a lot of people forgot that. When he went into that grave for that 3 days and three nights, he went to Sheol, hell, and he brought people out of hell. Wow. That's what he told Mary. When she came to the garden, she didn't recognize him. He said, touch me not, because I have not ascended to my Father and your Father. She had seen him just after he had risen. But I want to tell you something else, guys. He wasn't alone. He brought with him all of those that had accepted the word when he went and preached to them. In the book of Peter, it tells you that. He preached to those people, and there were some that accepted. And he brought them with him and then ascended to the heavens. Isn't that powerful? So what is he going to do with us, you think? You think he's going to do the same thing? You think he has the power to help us to ascend where he is? Oh, man, I know it. I believe it. I've had some dreams about it, that I am going to be with God and I can ascend and be where he is. That's a powerful thing. And then go to work, just like he went to work. Did he go and save the whole world? Did he travel from place to place? His disciples that followed him, didn't they do it too? You know, they went out, established churches, whatever. They worked. When you're in heaven, in the spirit, what are you going to do? God's going to put you into sins to go get souls because you love them and pull them out of their darkness. That's what God's going to do. He's going to have you go into the seas and take that Leviathan and wrap them up where you can't do anything anymore and pull people out of that, out of those waters, pull people out of darkness, pull people out of hell, out of the lake of fire. What do you think God's doing? Here's the thing. If he would be a very poor God, if all of these things that have been lost to sin, he couldn't get back. How can sin be more powerful than God? There's no way. So is God going to get everything back that was lost? He's God. He's going to do it. I don't care if it takes a million years, a trillion years, whatever. He's going to get everything back that was lost. Everything. That's every soul. People say, well, then why should I even try to serve him? He's going to get me anyway. Hey, we're talking a long time, aren't we? It may take a trillion years before everybody is done. So do you want to suffer in a hell or something like that all that time? God's merciful. He wants to get you out of there as quick as possible, out of your situation, out of what's causing you a problem as soon as possible. I'm talking about a problem in serving him. This is very powerful. So what do we need to do? We need to please God. Not ourselves. Let's do the things God wants us to do and please him. There's a lot of stuff we can do here to please ourselves. I do stuff that pleases me every day. I know one of them is eating. I enjoy it. I can please myself in some way every day, right? But the thing is, that's not going to help me in eternal life and salvation. It really isn't. I tell you what type of eating will, if I receive the word of God, because that's how he typifies it, to drinking water and eating food. Receiving him, receiving the things he said in the inner man. Now, if I eat that way every day, guess what? I have a great reward, don't I? That's the type of eating I want to do. Didn't Jesus say, I have meat that's not of this place here, not of this table? Guess what? His meat was to do his Father's will. So there's one more thing I want to say, and then I want you to think about this, and we'll end it. Remember the spirit that came over Jesus when John was baptizing him? And it came out like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It said the spirit as a dove. So it was in that form, in that image, and it lit on Christ, right? And then a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, right? So why was God pleasing his son? Why was he? Did the will of the Father. He only spoke what the Father told him to speak. He only went where the Father told him to go. You see what I mean? He only performed the works the Father told him to perform. He was completely obedient to the Father. So the Father says, in this son, I am well pleased. Guess what? What did he say we are? Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what ye shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, and we will see him as he is. You know what our destiny is to be sons and daughters of God. That's our destiny. This is what God wants. And then he'll say the same thing about us. Man, sons and daughters, they only did what I told them to do. They walked where I told them to walk. They spoke what I told them to speak. And then the whole thing came forth. Yeah, they're sons and daughters too, aren't they? Enter into my kingdom. Enter into my rest. That's when God will just lead you in. They have this little joke about St. Peter. He's standing at the door allowing people to come in and out. That's not scriptural, guys. It doesn't say that. But let's just say there are some angels there, though, huh? And the angels either keep you out or keep you in. Well, you won't even make it there. Some people say, well, can you go to the door? You won't even make it to the door. Why would God allow you to go even to? You won't be there. The only ones that will be there are those that serve God. There's an old song that says this. Only what you do for Christ will last. That's true. Only what you do for him will last. Well, no, I'm going to do something great in this world, and men will remember me for just eons. Talk to a kid probably about a year ago, and I was talking to him about, I said, yeah, man, remember when, Martin Luther King did all of this, and remember when Bobby Kennedy was shot in the assassination attempt? And remember this when President Kennedy died in 63 in Dallas? And remember, they said, who are you talking about? Now, people say those things will be remembered forever. This was a junior high kid. Didn't know a thing about what I was talking about. Not one thing. And I thought to myself, I said, you know what? That memory is short, isn't it? They learn it in school, but it doesn't mean anything to them. You know, it's no big deal to them. But to me, I lived it. I lived through that. It's like, wow, I see it in my mind's eye right now. You see, you know what I'm talking about, John? You see those things. And then you talk to somebody that is not aware of them at all. And we're talking about earthly men. Whew. Imagine how hard it's going to be for Jesus, for them. If we talk about earthly men, they can't even remember that. They have no inkling of what that's about. Hey, this is why we need to learn about Jesus. This is why we need to please him. It goes beyond our life. It goes beyond what we experience here. This is what I'm trying to get across to you today. We got to please him. You please him, you'll be good. You'll do good. And you still will get benefits of this life. Some of the greatest benefits in this life, I'm married to the same woman for 45 years. I got 5 kids. They're all doing good. I got 14 grandkids. They're doing good. One of them sitting right there, you know, granddaughter around here somewhere. But all of them, God is blessing them all. Does that mean nothing bad's ever going to happen to them? No. doesn't mean that. But what I'm saying is, Scripture talks about how a man can be blessed in his generations. I'm already blessed in my generations. I am blessed. And I look forward to more blessings in my generations. And there will be others that will follow these generations for eons, lifetimes, because we started it, didn't we? Somebody started before me and got me here, right? And then we went on and did the other part. So it's going to go on for generations. Don't you want your generations to be blessed? Yeah, I want mine to be blessed. So I'm living this life for them so that they can be blessed. Here's another thing, too. There's curses in our lives. Does anybody realize that? You do have curses. Have there been things that you've gone over and over again in your family life? I know families that, man, alcoholism is the curse in their life. I'm talking about things here. It goes generation to generation to generation. I was part of that. All my uncles died from alcoholism. My mom was an alcoholic for a long time. Their parents, whatever, alcoholics, stopped here. You can stop a curse. You believe in Jesus Christ, whatever that curse is, you can stop it because he will overcome every curse. It says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Who hung on the tree for us? Jesus, so did he take the curse? You just got to believe it and follow, and God will bless you. So it even ends curses in this world. That is powerful to me. So I believe in Jesus. I want to please him. Anybody got any questions for me about what I said today? Or a comment? If not, man, we're done. We are done.